Association.
The federal government spent trillions of dollars to help individuals and businesses suffering from coronavirus shutdowns. The government gaveth, and now in some cases the government will taketh away. Many who've received those benefits now wonder if they'll have to pay taxes on them. Financial planner and teacher Rob West has some answers for us today. It's good news and bad, and we'll take your calls and questions on anything financial at 800-525-7000. Jot that down. Give us a call, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. The CARES Act, what's taxable, what's not? Next, right here on MoneyWise Live. Okay, Rob, so what do we want first, the good news or the bad news?
Let's start with some good news. Millions of Americans received stimulus payments of $1,200 for eligible adults and $500 for dependent children. Well, we've answered this one several times, but we still get questions about it. So let's put this to rest first. Those $1,200 and $500 stimulus payments are definitely not taxable on the return you'll file for 2020. They were actually classified as tax credits, so they not only aren't counted towards your AGI, adjusted gross income, they're not counted as income for federal programs like Medicaid either. That's important, Steve, because some elderly in nursing homes and assisted living facilities have been mistakenly told they have to sign those checks over to the facility where they're living. Well, they do not.
That's right. That is good news. Okay, anything else?
Well, we've been talking about stimulus payments to individuals under the CARES Act. There's also the Economic Impact Payments, or EIP. The other major form of benefits is the Paycheck Protection Program, or the PPP.
Gotta love those government acronyms, huh?
Yeah, exactly right. They're always good for an acronym. under the PPP, payments have gone out to small businesses and self-employed individuals in the form of loans. Some portion or all of those loans will be forgiven. That is if the money is used for payroll, rent or mortgage, group health benefits, and specifically utilities.
Okay, so PPP loans may be forgiven, but doesn't that present a tax liability?
Normally it would. Under federal law, though, loan forgiveness is usually counted as taxable income. But the CARES Act specifically excludes the forgiveness of small business PPP loans. So that's more good news.
Okay, so this act really is quite a bit different from lots of things we've seen in the past, that's for sure. And good news as far as federal tax is concerned. What about state taxes on loan forgiveness?
Oh, that's where it gets a little iffy. In most cases, states follow the federal government's guidelines on taxing loan forgiveness, but not always. It's unclear now which states, if any, will in fact tax the PPP loan forgiveness. So businesses that have their loans forgiven need to set some money aside in case their state doesn't follow the lead of the IRS.
Okay. Now, you said, I believe that some portion of PPP loans might be forgiven. Can you be a little more specific?
Sure. Under the latest PPP guidelines, here's how the forgiveness works. First, your business must retain or hire, or that is rehire, full-time employees during the reporting period, which ends December 31st of this year. Second, it must not reduce compensation paid to any employee by more than 25%. And last, 60% or more of the money must be used for employee compensation and benefits.
Okay. What if a business doesn't meet those criteria?
Yeah, well, then it will have to pay back some portion of the money. But it's not all bad news. Even if that happens, those businesses will have 2 years to repay at only 1% interest. And there's an option to delay the first payment for up to 6 months. So those are fairly generous terms. Remember, the whole idea of the Paycheck Protection Program loans is to keep businesses afloat and keep people employed.
Okay. All right. But what about people who didn't stay employed? Millions of people have received unemployment benefits, often boosted by an additional $600 a week from the federal government. Will that money be taxed?
Unfortunately, for most people receiving unemployment benefits, the answer is yes. Depending on your income level, you could owe federal taxes on that money. The IRS views state unemployment benefits as taxable, and that's what this is. This year, that will include the $600 weekly supplement provided by the federal government.
Okay, what about state taxes?
Well, good news and bad there. The majority of states also tax unemployment benefits, but not all. Specifically, California, Montana, New Jersey, Oregon, Pennsylvania, and Virginia do not. So if you live in one of those states, well, that's good news.
Okay, here's some more good news. 800-525-7000. Call us. We'd like to hear from you.
Money and life run on the same track. But unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Our friends at Sound Mind Investing have been helping Christians reach their financial goals since 1990 with step-by-step guidance for investors just getting started, making choices in a 401k, or getting ready for retirement, all grounded in God's Word. The SMI slogan is Financial Wisdom for Living Well. More information is available online at soundmindinvesting.org. The SMI website also includes articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
One of the common areas in our office has some beautiful flowers in a vase every day. They change color and types throughout the year. But one day last winter, I finally slowed down long enough to smell those beauties. There was no smell, and it turned out...
Those are fake.
You know, flowers can look so real, but have no life. Just like so many folks who look like they really belong to Jesus Christ, but there's no life there. Jesus described people who would come before him on Judgment Day with lots of Christian credentials, but no real faith. He says that he will tell them that he never knew them. That's why the Bible says to examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. The time to realize that you don't really know him is now. You can avoid being turned away by acknowledging what Jesus did on the cross for you. Being real and honest about your sin and wanting Jesus to take over your life as your Savior in your heart. We'd love to help you get started. Call us at 888-NEED-HIM or chat with us at chataboutjesus.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Welcome back to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. We've been talking for just a couple of minutes about the CARES Act, the stimulus payments, and in some cases, if states will be taxing those. And I think you gave us a list of most states who will not be taxing those payments, but there are some states where they will, right?
Right. Yeah. So if you live in a state without an income tax, obviously you won't be taxed on unemployment benefits there. Those states are Alaska, Florida, Nevada, South Dakota, Texas, Washington, and Wyoming. And then there are those other states I mentioned just before the break that will not tax unemployment benefits: California, Montana, New Jersey, Oregon, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. All the rest, though, your unemployment benefits could be subject to federal and state tax. So you're just going to want to take a look at that. You probably know what state you're in and how they treat that, but if not, ask your tax preparer.
You know, whenever we discuss this and go a little bit in depth, I'm always so impressed as to how much money has been put into this program so far. It's, I mean, off the top of my head, I can't remember, but, you know, we're talking about trillions of dollars, right?
Well, that's exactly a lot of my billions and billions of dollars that were put in here, not trillions into the PPP specifically, but if you put all of it together, you do go past a trillion. But incredible amounts of money, stimulus, if you will, being injected not only into the economy by way of small businesses, but also these direct payments to consumers. We know money market balances are at all-time highs right now, so there's a lot of money on the sideline, which means there's some pent-up demand for this market, in my view, to continue to run to higher levels once we have a little more clarity around the back end of this virus, vis-a-vis therapeutics and a real candidate for a vaccine. And so I think we could be in for a strong market heading into the end of the year, simply because of all the money that's been pumped into the system through the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, okay. Well, and another good reminder, it's always good to have some savings, even when money is coming your way, checks you hadn't planned on. If you're not setting aside some of that money, if you don't have, ideally 3 to 6 months of savings, but at least a month's worth of savings, things can sneak up on you that you're not prepared for. And the last thing you want to have to do in a situation like the one we're in the middle of is using your credit card to pay bills or respond to emergency situations. So anyway, if we can help you today with anything financial, we have lines, and here's the number, 800-525-7000. Indianapolis is where we begin. Shanice, what's on your mind?
Yes, I have a question. My question is, what IRS free file program should be chosen that has a feature to do deductions? Some may not do deductions. It may just give you, ask for your main information, like how much you make and how do you file, but they may not go through all the homework of if you worked as a I did certified nurse assistant work, and I also worked as a home health aide. So my main job was at a facility. My other jobs was traveling. And but I wasn't allowed to use my mileage. I didn't get reimbursed for my mileage. That wasn't in the picture. And then I didn't get benefit from the other three companies. One did offer it, but I was working almost close to maybe 30 hours for the one company where they would send you to facilities. The other two companies sent you to personal private homes. And then my fifth job was working for Lyft, and I rented a car to work for myself as a chauffeur driver under that label.
I see. Yeah, Shanice, you're right. There are a lot of free options out there. You know, for instance, somebody looking to file an extension today can do that at irs.gov. Keep in mind that for those, and I know this isn't specifically what you're asking about here, Shanice, but for those looking to file an extension today, that's an extension on filing, not paying. So make sure you include an estimated payment there. There are other options in terms of free filing solutions. TurboTax has a free edition, but they are for simple tax situations, Shanice. So this is going to be ideal for W-2 income, and real simple returns. You can still get credit for dependents. But if you're looking as a self-employed individual to be able to maximize and take advantage of all the deductions available to you, that does move beyond just a simple return. And you typically are going to have to pay for that, whether you use an online solution or certainly if you use a tax preparer. So I don't have a quick free option for you given the situation there. Because you have a little bit more complexity in your situation, I think you're going to need to pay for it. But I can tell you this, it'll be money well spent to make sure you get that filed correctly and to make sure that you take full advantage of every deduction coming your way. So you could still use a TurboTax solution or one of the other online options, but you are going to have to pay a little bit for it.
Shanice, we appreciate hearing from you. Thank you so much for your call today. Orland Park, Illinois. Kathy, I understand you're going to correct us.
No,
is that true?
Not to correct you, just to confirm. it was my understanding that the PPP loan is has been extended to 5 years for the repayment terms. I just want to make sure that I was thinking right. I happen to hear it, and I just wanted to confirm that.
You're exactly right. And, I believe we had said 2 years, which was the original length. You are exactly right. It was extended. They did make a few changes in the second round to the PPP program specifically, and one of those changes was extending that payback to 5 years on paying that back. Still has a 1% interest rate, no change there. Lots of moving pieces, but good catch, Kathy, and you're exactly right.
Kathy, thanks very much. Anything else?
Well, I wanted to ask, there was an EDL advance that they had given us. Now, I'm hearing that the EDL advance, depending on if you have a business and the employees that you have, say, I don't know, say you get $4,000. I'm hearing that the EDL advance goes against your PPP loan, and that part cannot be forgiven. Is that correct?
You know, it's a good question, Kathy. I'm not sure about that. We could certainly look into it. I'm not familiar with that portion of it. What I know is that for those who applied for the PPP using the standard PPP terms, and as long as you use them for the money for the purpose in the percentages required by the PPP, specifically for payroll and a few other expenses, then you can have 100% reimbursed. But if there's some caveats to that, which you're pointing out, I'm not aware of those, so it'd be worth doing a bit more due diligence. It does get quite complex quickly. So thanks for your question on that, and I would dig a bit further on that. We don't have an answer right away.
Thanks, Kathy. We do appreciate your call today very much. Let's squeeze in one more. Tinley Park, Illinois. Hi, Diane. What's on your mind today?
I have some a collection of coins that I want to sell. I have no idea who I should can contact. That would be someone that would honestly deal with me as an amateur, not knowing anything about them. How would I go about selling those coins?
Yeah. Well, these are called numismatic coins, and these are coins that are collectibles. I think the key is you need to start by finding out what is the real value of what you have. Have you, by chance, Diane, taken these to a coin dealer or somebody who has some professional insight that could give you a valuation on them?
Mm-hmm.
Have you done that?
No, I have not. I have not, but I don't know who I contact to do that.
Yes. I would look for a coin dealer in your area. I would start online to begin researching that. The great thing about the internet is you can get a lot of ratings for individuals and businesses. And I'd be looking for a coin dealer that has a good reputation online, lots of ratings that are positive, and somebody that you can go and sit with face to face that really has some expertise, has had some longevity in this space, and where you can confirm either through the Better Business Bureau or through online ratings that they've got some have a good reputation in this area. What you want to start with is getting an evaluation of the value of what you have, and I'd probably do at least two different individuals. You'll have to pay them probably for their time, but that way you get an objective opinion as to what you have there in that coin collection. And then at that point, those individuals may help you as a broker to sell them, but at least you'll know what you should be aiming for as you sell them, because there's a lot of folks online that will take advantage of you if you're not careful, and that's why you certainly always want to make sure you're dealing with somebody who's reputable. Another place to go just for additional information, Diane, would be a website called money.org. That's the American Numismatic Association, money.org. And I think as you read up there, you'll be able to find some additional information that'll point you in the right direction. But I'd start with evaluation and then ask for a recommendation on a dealer to sell.
And Diane, we hope that helps you. Check that out. They have a splendid website, and they also rate and rank and approve of dealers nationally. And so that should give you a good place. Another place, interestingly, you might check out, which is local but also national, and that's Yelp, yelp.com, because more than likely there are some other people who have you know, done some checking around as you are trying to do, and they have opinions and resources for local dealers who have done well by them. So you might want to look into that as well. Thank you very much for calling in today. And with that, we're going to pause here for a brief break. You're listening to MoneyWise Live. Rob West is your host. I'm Steve Moore. It's a pleasure to have you out there today and listening. 800-525-7000. We'll be back with more right around the corner.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
When the Holy Spirit is interceding for us, we're thinking, well, it's all about the will of God. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's all about God doing what he wants to do. Because in a really hurtful situation, we want what we're asking for. Now, I mean, if it's the loss of the love, this precious loved one with an illness, we're going, I'm hoping he does what we're asking him to, not just what he wants. And we're thinking, is there the Holy Spirit's praying the will of God? I'm going, I want a vote. But we've got to understand the Spirit is for us. And that the will of God, we're not going to look ahead, but in Romans 12, 1 and 2, and I want you to write that address down, it describes that our thinking, that our minds would be renewed, not conformed to the things of this world, but transformed, so that we will know the will of God, the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. God's will for you is good. God's will for you is pleasing. God's will for you is even perfect. There is, if God just insists on something in your life, it may be because it has huge ramifications in your line and the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. Because I don't know about you, but if you're thinking, the Holy Spirit may be praying differently than me, I want this. I want this.
Beth and team are thankful for the grace gift to serve you. Your letters, prayers, and support are a vital part of this program. To request this month's thank you gift, text the word gift to 57682. Again, text GIFT to 57682. Or go to BethMoore.org/donate. That's BethMoore.org/donate.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Welcome back to MoneyWise Live, where our bottom line goal is to help you find God's plan and God's wisdom for your finances. And that's kind of the cornerstone on which we built this radio program. And if we can help you with that, we'd love to do it. So let's continue on. Oh, 800-525-7000. Calhoun, Georgia. Diane, what's on your mind today?
Hi, I'm going to give you a little bit of background first. I'm 68 years old, and I was still planning on working, but my health is not going to allow me to do that at this point. I had taken out a mortgage on the house and made it a 15-year so that it would get paid off much quicker, and it probably would have been really close at that time, but now I have $38,000 that I still owe on the house, and I don't know if to try and refinance and lose the refinance money, or just go ahead and pay it off with my 401k so I don't have that hanging over my head.
Diane, appreciate that question. I'm sorry to hear about your health situation. How many years do you have left on that 15-year mortgage?
About four.
Okay.
My payments are like over $1,000.
Okay. What is the interest rate?
3.75.
Okay. All right. And when you rework your budget in retirement, talk to me about how that works out in terms of, you know, do you have to eliminate this payment completely in order to make everything work, or could you just reduce it and fund your lifestyle? Tell me about your spending plan.
I don't spend a whole lot. Everything is paid off. I don't have credit card debt or anything like that. However, I know I can't do $1,000. So, and when I looked into refinancing, the closing costs are, you know, $3,000 to $4,000.
Yeah. Now, on that size mortgage, it shouldn't be, you should not spend more than 1%. It is a smaller loan, so you could pay a little bit more. But, yeah, you've got a couple of options here. How much do you have in your 401k?
About $175,000.
All right. And are you planning on generating an income off of that to supplement other income sources in retirement, or will that just continue to grow?
I do not plan on using it. My retirement, my Social Security will be enough for me to live on and still travel a little bit if I want to and stuff like that. I still have spending money. My income will be close to $2,800 a month.
Okay. All right. Very good. And so you've got the 401k. And then with the house, you plan on staying there for the foreseeable future? If you can, you don't have any plans to move?
No, I won't be moving.
Okay. All right. Well, you certainly could refinance. I mean, obviously, this balance is fairly low. You should be able to, get that payment way down and make that work in your budget. The other option is to go ahead and pull that out of the 401k. I'd probably do that, but I would. The challenge is if you spread it out over a couple of years, even if you spread it out over two tax years, you take half now and half right after the first of the year in 2021. That would spread it out over two tax years. Would you be able to continue to work until that time, or have you already stopped at this point?
No, I haven't stopped, and I probably will be able to work close to the end of this year.
Okay.
I'm figuring November
Then I'd probably go in that direction, Diane. I'd take half of it out this year and half next year. Go ahead and pay it off completely and save the refinance expense and get your budget right-sized, and then just continue to invest the balance of the $175 after the mortgage is paid off. That way you'll keep your tax burden down by spreading it out. Hey, we appreciate your call today. God bless you.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost-sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
The Moody Radio verse of the week is found in Revelation 5:9. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." That's Revelation 5, 9, the Moody Radio Verse of the Week.
As we face the issues that affect our lives, we need to see them through God's eyes. We gain that perspective by reading the Bible every day. Today in the Word is a daily devotional from Moody Bible Institute that proclaims the truth of God's Word through reflections on Scripture and insightful articles. They even answer your questions about the Bible and living your life for Christ. Find out how you can have Today in the Word delivered to you at todayintheword.org. todayintheword.org.
Your family and your money are two very important subjects. That's why in this month's MoneyWise e-magazine, we're giving your family tips and tools to grow closer to God, closer together, and closer to true financial freedom. Get practical advice to strengthen financial communication in your marriage, infuse more budget-friendly family activities into your week, and a lot more. Your free MoneyWise e-magazine subscription is waiting for you at moneywise.org/signup.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Arizona, Texas, and Florida are together reporting about 25,000 new coronavirus cases as new restrictions aimed at combating the spread of the pandemic take hold in the U.S. and around the world. Alabama will begin requiring face masks after the state reported a pandemic high of 40 deaths in a single day. Delta Airlines says it expects to take a charge of up to $3.3 billion to cover the cost of early retirements and buyouts for employees as it shrinks in response to a sharp decline in air travel. The airline said this week that 17,000 employees have agreed to depart the company. Stocks rose today on Wall Street following some encouraging, though very early, results in developing a coronavirus vaccine. The Dow pushed forward 227 points, the NASDAQ up 61, the S&P gained 29. This is SRN News.
You're listening to MoneyWise Live with your host, Rob Webb, Rob West. I've known him for minutes now. And we'd love to hear from you today. Here's our phone number, 800-525-7000. There must be a Rob Webb out there somewhere.
I'm sure there is. Yeah, probably even listening to the program right now.
All right. Well, if that's you, call in, and we have something free for you today, a gift. 800-525-7000. I have 7,000. Jeff's in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and what's on your mind, Jeff?
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So my daughter is expecting a child soon, and she has some money put back that she'd like to invest in something long-term that would benefit her more than just throwing it into a savings account. I just wanted to get y'all's advice on what you would do with that.
Sure. Jeff, what is the purpose of the money? Who is it for? And what is the purpose and time horizon based on what she knows today?
So it's for her child that she's expecting in about 6 weeks. And it's going to be for college in the future. Just whatever life throws at her down the road.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think one of the keys that you just said there is really her idea is to use it for college. And if that's the case, what I would encourage her to do is open up what's called a 529 college savings plan. She can look at the plan offered there in the state of Tennessee, but you're not limited to the plan in your state. You can compare that to other plans from other states, because most of them allow you to open an account even if you're not a resident. And the way you would want to encourage her to do that, to evaluate those plans, is to go to savingforcollege.com, and then she can run a quick little question and answer calculator that will compare the Tennessee plan or wherever she lives to the other plans and give her a recommendation. The nice thing is that very low cost in terms of opening that, and she can just put money in either in a lump sum fashion or lump sum plus some sort of systematic contribution. And then that money can be invested in the mutual funds inside the plan. And if it's specifically used for qualified education expenses, which includes paying off student loans after college, includes up to $10,000 for K-12 private school, as well as the normal college-related expenses you might expect, then that money's going to grow tax-free and not be taxed when it's pulled out. And it's fairly simple to select the investment options inside the plan. So that's the direction I'd go. Tell her it's a 529 college savings plan, and she's going to want to evaluate the various plans at savingforcollege.com.
Thank you, Jeff. Moving along to Valparaiso, Indiana. Hi, Diane. What's your question today for Rob?
Hi, thank you.
Hi.
My question is, my son and his wife, they've been married about 2 years. They just graduated from college, and when college was shut down, they moved with us in Indiana. He has just accepted a job in Pennsylvania. He is still under our health insurance, and he's 24 years old. She turns 26 in November. The lowest plan at the business he'll be working at is $650. And that seems like a lot to me, especially for a young couple with one salary right now just starting out. What are the other options for him? And is one of the options for him to have insurance for her, even though he doesn't use it?
I see. The $650, Diane, that you're talking about, that's the plan offered through his company, health insurance. Was that a family plan, and that would cover the three of them?
It's just the two of them.
And, okay, it's just the two of them. All right. But that was for both he and his wife.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I'll tell you, with the rising cost of health care these days, that really is not, unfortunately, not a bad amount. You know, it's not uncommon for a family, once they have a few kids, to be spending well over $2,000 a month for health insurance. If you want traditional health insurance with, you know, a low deductible and a reasonable copay, it is just very expensive. And so $650 a month, I know, is a lot as they're just starting out, but it's not out of line. I think the key is that they both have some type of coverage. So where do you go from here? Well, they could look at a couple of other options. Another option would be to look at an HSA and perhaps even ask his company if they'd be willing, if they provide any sort of benefit in the form of perhaps covering a portion of his cost of health insurance, whether they'd redirect that into an HSA. They may not. But basically, they would get a high deductible health insurance plan, which is a lot lower cost, and then you'd pair with it a health savings account where you make contributions. It would grow on a tax-deferred basis and ultimately be tax-free if it's used for medical expenses. But essentially, they're funding the cost of the health care out of the HSA, and it can be cost-advantaged. Another option that they really should look at that may be a great fit for them is something called Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing among Christians across the country, tens of thousands of them. They've literally paid out billions with a B. And the big idea here is it's not insurance, but it's Christians coming together to share each other's medical bills. And you would probably be looking on their top plan at about $500 a month. So that'd be obviously less than the $650. The only difference is that they would, and in fact, if it's just husband and wife, it wouldn't even be that much. It'd probably be somewhere between $300 and $400 a month. But basically, they would be self-pay up to $500 per incident. Now, if they're young and healthy, that may not be a big deal. But essentially, they'd want to take for a period of time the difference between the what they're paying to CHM and what they would be paying for traditional health insurance and put that in a savings account so they can self-pay the cost of a doctor's visit or if they had to go to a hospital stay, again, because they'd have responsibility for the first $500. But then everything after that is shared among the Christians in the plan through Christian Healthcare Ministries. So I would refer them to those two options. Option one is the plan offered by his employer. Option two is an HSA, health savings account, paired with a high deductible health plan. And you could look at HSABank.com to get more information on that. And then the third option is Christian Healthcare Ministries. You'll find them at chministries.org.
Mm-hmm. Diane, we hope that helps you and your son and his wife as they go forward. There are some great options there. Thank you very, very much. Rob, a quick email, I think. This is from Jane. Hey, Rob, is this a good time to refinance with rates so low?
You know, it really is. In fact, they just ticked down again today, sitting right at around 3%. I think, you know, you can pretty much, if you have a good credit score, you can get 2.99% today on a refi. You know, so I think the key here is to make sure, A, that you're not extending the term. So often, you know, 5 years into a 30-year mortgage, starting over at 30 years, we don't factor in the fact that we're going to be paying interest for another 5 years. So even though you're reducing the rate, you know, you could really go backwards. Number two is make sure you're not overpaying in terms of cost on that refi. 1% would be my target in terms of what you're paying for expense. And number three, I'd love for you to save at least a point on the interest rate. And then lastly, stay in that home for at least 5 years. But if all those things kind of line up, this is a great time to be looking at refinancing, Steve, with rates at historic lows.
Okay. And if you have a brief email for Rob, keep it brief, just a couple of lines if you want to hear it read on the air. And then the address is questions@moneywise.org, questions@moneywise.org. Now, if you go to moneywiselive.org, you can find lots of free materials there and resources that will help you with your personal finances and your budgeting. That's also where you can send a gift if you'd like. Just click the donate tab at the top of the page, moneywiselive.org. Stick around. More to come after this.
Many people are experiencing financial challenges, such as credit card debt, downsizing, dead-end jobs, and depleted savings. In fact, more than half of all divorces are the result of financial pressures at home. But there's hope. In Your Money Counts, biblical financial expert Howard Dayton shows that the Bible is a veritable blueprint for managing your finances, and you'll discover the profound impact it has on your relationship with God. Your Money Counts is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand the urgency and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity. It probably won't, but the rapture could happen today. And if it did, how many of your friends would be left behind? More importantly, how many would be left behind without warning? Keep in mind, in Ezekiel 3:17, God appoints us as watchmen over our friends and holds us accountable for warning them the enemy is coming. With all that's going on, there's no question that Satan is coming, and we should be warning all of our friends and loved ones while there's still time. There's nothing more urgent for us to do. And there's nothing more fun to do than leading your friends and loved ones to God. Nothing in the entire human experience. When we get to heaven, the only thing that will matter is how many others will be there because of our influence and hear God say, "Well done." There's nothing more exciting than knowing God just used you to lead somebody to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
Is there someone that you're struggling to forgive? If you are, then you're not alone. Bitterness seems to be erupting into anger on the streets of our nation, behind the closed doors of our homes, and across the political spectrum in our capital. But there is a solution. 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on a cross for the sins of the world, including your sins and my sins. He dug a well of forgiveness that supplies enough grace to heal our deepest hurts. When His love flows into our hearts, we have the ability to forgive those who have wounded us, and revival erupts, homes are united, relationships restored, and the nation is healed. Why don't you dig deep into your heart and by faith pull out God's grace and forgive those who have hurt you? I'm Sammy Tippett, author and international evangelist for OneCry.com.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow. But sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Here's some wisdom from Matthew 25, verse 40. And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." Nice to have you with us today. It's MoneyWise Live, Chicago, Illinois. Hello, Frank. Thanks for holding. Thanks for your patience. And what's your question?
How you doing?
Great. Thank you.
I was calling. I'm 64. I'm going to be 65 next month. I don't have any kind of IRA or a Roth because I started really late. I don't know if it's late to even do anything. I have some money that I saved up I have like about 40,000. I'm self-employed. Right now, I haven't really been working because of the virus. And I'm trying to figure out whether to try to get Social Security or what to do with God's money. And because I have health issues as well, you know?
Yes, yes. Frank, do you have the ability to continue to work in the future?
If God's will, yes. Yes, if I could still work, yes.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I think the key to being able to save, despite perhaps some of the challenges you've had in the past, is fairly simple. I wish I had a silver bullet here for you, but I think at the end of the day, to the extent God gives you the ability to work health-wise, keeping your lifestyle in check, keeping your expenses at a minimum, and then being systematic in your savings. And I realize it may seem like you just either don't have enough time or you're not able to put away enough money on a monthly basis for it to amount to anything meaningful. And yet I think the key is just continuing as a steady plotter, which we read about in God's Word, putting money aside, but continuing to trust God, because ultimately He is your provider, no one else. But starting with this idea that God owns it all, that you are a steward, that your trust is in Him, not in the things of this world, not in your possessions, and that He will provide for your needs. And then following His principles, spending less than you earn, avoiding the use of debt, having some margin, which is some excess beyond what you're spending on a monthly basis that you can put into savings and even invest for the longer term. You know, just investing, if the Lord allows, your health-wise over the next 10 years as you continue to work, that can amass into some additional funds. And as you do that, that plus Social Security and what you're able to accumulate, not to mention the fact that you'd be pursuing becoming debt-free if you're not already there, will allow you to keep your lifestyle at a minimum and, Lord willing, have the resources you need to be able to provide for yourself. But I realize it can be challenging. And to the extent you need assistance along the way, that's where the body of Christ should come in. And so this would be an encouragement to those out there who have more than they need to be looking around them for those who are in need to be able to share and be the hands and feet of Jesus at His leading. But Frank, we certainly appreciate your call today. We'll ask the Lord to provide for you in this situation and in the days ahead. And I hope you don't get discouraged and just continue to stay the course, sir.
Yeah, amen. Thank you, Frank. God bless you, brother. Rock Island, Illinois. Mike, I understand you have a question about the national debt, huh?
Yes. Earlier this year, I checked, and I believe I remember seeing that the country owed $23 trillion. And now it's a few months later, and they've issued $3 trillion for the CARES Act, and I'm sure there's even other debt. And I'm wondering, how will the government deal with this debt? Will they end up choosing to print money that causes hyperinflation? Or what other options, I'm wondering, that you might know about that you think they might do that me and other listeners would need to prepare for? Thank you.
Yeah, Mike, I appreciate that. You know, the same principles we read about in God's Word related to debt apply to nations in the same way they do individuals. And there are clear warnings around the use of debt. And I think we certainly need to heed that at a national level at the same way we do with our personal finances as we manage God's money. We needed to do, in my view, everything we're doing right now to be able to weather this coronavirus pandemic. I mean, we had an event-driven recession that was brought on by nothing more than we had to turn the economy off on a given day in March, and essentially everything kind of locked up. And we knew what was going to be the fallout of that. Huge unemployment numbers, the quickest move in the stock market to bear market territory in history. Obviously a drop, a significant drop in the gross domestic product and gross output. All of those things brought on, and yet very necessary. And so the U.S. government did what it had to do. The Federal Reserve stepped in and began to provide stimulus and liquidity to businesses and individuals to keep the economy functioning to keep people employed, and we've certainly seen the fruit of that. Now, that would have been great if during the previous 11 years of expansion, as we went through the greatest bull market we've ever seen and greatest expansion of wealth this nation has ever experienced, that we were paying down our debt. That would have been the ideal situation, which is the same thing we should be doing in the times of plenty personally. And yet, that wasn't the case. So that's where I think we need to learn our lesson, because in those good times, we should be actively trying to run budget surpluses, not deficits, and get our act together with regard to paying down the national debt. Unfortunately, we haven't been doing that. We've been kicking the can down the road, and we will have to deal with that at some point. Now, what about hyperinflation? Yeah, I don't see hyperinflation coming. I mean, this is when we have a rapid rise and the value of the currency of a country tumbles. We would typically define that, or economists would, when prices rise by at least 50% a month. And it would typically happen at a time where there's civil unrest or war and an underlying collapse of the economy. You know, we're not going to have anything like that. We still have a strong consumer. We have a strong economy. Yes, we've passed the current level of gross domestic product with our national debt, at around 22, 23 trillion GDP. And we have about the same now, taking on more in the way of national debt. That 1-to-1 ratio is a big deal, and we need to make sure that we keep that in mind moving forward. But I don't think we're going to see anything like hyperinflation coming, because the Federal Open Market Committee really does have quite a bit of power in this situation. They have tools at their disposal. They will use interest rates to be able to help keep inflation at that ideal mark of about 2%, which is what they typically shoot for. And they can raise rates once we start to see inflation coming in, and can manage that appropriately. So I think the key is just recognizing, A, we need to elect officials in the future who are willing to make those hard decisions and tackle this, and B, recognize that we're only in control of what God has entrusted to us, and we need to follow his principles in terms of how we manage that. But I would concur with you that this is something we need to take note of, and we need to get serious about as a nation in the future.
Amen to that. Mike, great question. We appreciate your phone call today. Thanks so much. Pompano Beach, Florida, Bonita, pleasure to have you there. And what's on your mind?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call today.
Happy to.
I enjoy your show.
Thanks.
I wanted to ask a quick question regarding a home that I purchased. It's a 30-year loan back in 2005. It was through the Chase Bank, and I don't know what happened. They just decided to sell it to another entity or of some sort. It was GMAC. And so part of the loan was still with Chase, but the other part was with GMAC, and I had no say in the matter. So I end up having to pay two different entities. So I'm trying to find out, should I go ahead and refinance? Because they have changed so many hands over the years, and I keep getting new people to have to start making my payments to. And I just feel like it's too many people in my business. And then I just discovered a statement. And maybe it was on there beforehand, but I'm like, you know what, I've got to talk to somebody that knows more about this. Kind of thing. And I noticed that they've matured my date out another 10 years. So wherein it was a 30-year loan, now they're extending it another 10 years. It was supposed to mature 2035. Now they have 2045.
Okay. Yeah, I would definitely get somebody to take a look at this for you. There's a couple of things that don't really make sense to me as I'm hearing you describe your situation. Number one is, it's very common for a lender to sell your loan. Basically, what they're doing is they're selling the servicing rights to someone else. and they're getting it off their books, which frees up their credit lines and allows them to lend money to more individuals, because for many of them, that's their primary business, not necessarily the servicing side. And so it's very common, and you'll give them permission to do this typically when you take out the mortgage. They'll sell the servicing, and therefore you'll start writing your check to somebody else. What's confusing me is you said you had a portion at one and a portion at the other. I've never seen that or heard of it, so I'd want to get more information about that. The other thing is they can't change the terms of the loan without your permission. And so it doesn't sound like you were in any kind of situation where they had to, you know, put a portion on the back end, where you had a loan forbearance or deferment, nothing like that. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. When they told us we had 100% financing. And so I didn't realize, you know, at the end they said, oh, well, it's 80-20. And so, you know, when I called to ask questions as to why we have two different loan companies now, so they said, oh, well, you know, you have an 80-20, so technically we can sell a portion of the, you know, to someone else.
Well, I would look at refinancing, and while you do that, get a trusted individual to evaluate your current loan. I'd go to movementmortgage.com and see if they can help you. Thanks for your call today, Benita. Unfortunately, we're out of time.
MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. Join us tomorrow. We'll be back.